All right. So, I was raised up by an evangelist who walks strongly in the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, one of my foremost introductions to the prophetic, the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, deliverance has been this man. He's now in blessed memory. Has been this man. Very fantastic guy. Guy who walked in a certain level of dominion, anointed and walked in a certain level of dominion. But for the marriage he entered into, and the enemy will come through that, and several things will happen in his life, and now he's in the bosom of the Father, I believe. And from that deliverance background, I've grown into several things, mentored by different people, prophet teachers and powerful teachers and all of the apostolic types and all of that. And I've always realized that there is a need, because the enemy continues to make strange demands on us, and there's a need that we confront the enemy. My note is not opening on the computer. I don't know. So I'm going to open it here on my phone, and then I'll be good. I'll be good. I'll be good. I hope to put a PowerPoint together for the next meeting. So it's important that when we are dealing with a recurring matter, when we are dealing with a cycle of repetition, when negative tapes continue to play, where something that happened to my father is seeking to happen to me, is seeking to happen to other family members, then you know that this thing has a deep and entrenched bloodline issue. And as Jesus have died and truncated and started a new contest for us, we have to demand. We have to pray. That Jesus himself said, anything that is not planted by my Father shall be uprooted. So we already have a command, a powerful wind in our sail, empowering us to be able to go out there and cleanse ourselves and make a demand on the enemy, and have the enemy lose his demand and stronghold from our lives, our finances, organs in our bodies that the enemy seems to be bedeviling with all kinds of issues. We need to. So let me just start talking this evening about this very important thing we're talking about on Sunday. I started talking about, okay, note is opening somehow. I started talking about, where is the money? I wish I can put it in pigeon, where the money go day. It is important because I've been asked this question severally. Why am I not breaking through? By different people. I've asked the question myself, why am I not stepping into certain level of financial resource? And I have seen mysteries powerfully engaging. And the thing that no matter how anointed you are, if there is no finances, you are going nowhere. We have to embrace this reality. No matter how anointed you are, if there's no finances, you're going nowhere. No matter how anointed you are, if there's no finances, you're going nowhere. No matter how knowledgeable, how vast you are in terms of wisdom, if there is no finances, the poor man's wisdom was disregarded. He had no value. Nobody listened to him after he delivered a whole city. So it's important that we begin to address, where is the money? Why don't we have? I remember one preacher said, you do not have because somebody has taken it. In a very simple statement, but very, very deep. He said, you do not have because the enemy robbed you. So that can be one of the reasons why we are robbed. But there can be several other reasons why we are not seeing the finances that we need to see. And so throughout the few weeks ahead, I'm going to do my bit to begin to point things in a particular direction to create some activation and some hunger and some appetite. Kevin, you recall that some time ago I started asking you some transaction you were involved in, and so I tried to reach out to you and ask you how it's all going and where all those things, because I'm seeking understanding. Interestingly, that hunger has been there and continued to burn, and it's leading me to some discoveries, and I'm trying to research and see a starting point where I can get things kick off regarding that. And I'm going to talk to you about that in due course. In due course. So it's important. What do we have to do to work in finances? Now, the first thing I stated last Sunday, and I'm going to go into this note, is that the first principle we want to embrace is that wealth, money is everywhere. Money is everywhere. Money is everywhere. Money is everywhere because people have need, and those needs, when they are met, they pay for a service or they pay for a solution. Money is everywhere. We are surrounded by money, and it's important that we pray that the Lord opens our eyes to begin to see correctly and to engage with the right set of actions that will cause the realization of it. Money is everywhere. It needs to enter into our consciousness. We need to be awakened to that reality, because very often we wonder, where is the money? Or why is the money in some people's pocket alone? Money is everywhere. And once this consciousness begins to resonate, we are awakened to a reality. Number two, wealth and riches. Think I can do this. Wealth and riches usually, let me see where they are. Today, let me see if I'll show my face a little. There we go. Yeah, wealth and riches. It's locked up in secret places and dark places. And this calls for two factors: wisdom and spiritual warfare. Wealth and riches are locked up in secret and dark places. We will read from Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45, the verse 3. Isaiah 45, the verse 3. Yeah, it says, I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord who called you by your name, am the God of Israel. So we are seeing two realities here. Riches locked up in darkness and secret places. And darkness does represent a dimension of lack of light. And therefore, there is some amount of wisdom and understanding that we need to step into that would allow you to begin to walk in a certain dimension of wealth. There is some amount of wisdom, some amount of light, some amount of knowledge. I was researching on a particular product, and I was thinking of how do I invest into this product. Then I came by somebody on TikTok, and I followed this person, and I think he got an alert that I have watched his videos. So he quickly reached out to me and said, "Has your my video been of help to you?" I said, "Well, I just did a quick scan through your video." He said, "Okay." He said, "So where are you? Are you involved in this? Are you doing this and all of that?" And I said, "No, I'm researching right now." He said, "Well, this is what I do. You can give me $3,000 and I will do ABCD for you and you make a lot of money." And I said, "Hell no. I don't know you anywhere. And if I have $3,000 readily, I will not even invest all of that into such product. I would do baby steps. And so I find myself in a place where I am learning, I'm acquiring understanding, I'm trying to understand how things work. I'm trying to bring to bear my knowledge in finance into such an environment. How do I get these things analyzed and so forth? So there is an amount of knowledge that you need to come into that will open a certain realm of understanding for you in terms of finances. It is always some level of light that is required. And we pray that God will bring us into that. And you have to pray. You have to seek God, bring me into this understanding, this knowledge, and all. Number two, riches and wealth locked up in secret places would mean there are demonic vaults, there are demonic contracted systems that continue to lock up wealth. And until there is some amount of spiritual warfare, we do not break into that. If you recall any of us who have been in the on this Zoom call some time ago, I did some teachings and I talked about the Leviathan. I think they are in two parts. I talk about the marketplace, those dynamics, and how Leviathan hoards and holds riches and does not allow the believer or people to prophesy. The Leviathan has the characteristics of constricting people, limiting people, crushing people, bringing financial tightness, bringing depression, bringing fear and intimidation. And out of the temple of Delphi, the Leviathan has the capacity to determine who succeeds in the city and who does not succeed. And therefore, we have to begin to rightly address the question, where is the wealth? Where is the money? Where is the finances? Where is it locked up? We have to pierce through powerfully and pray. Now, I'm going to pull back a little and give you an idea concerning wealth locked in secret places, and it's still in Isaiah 45. Still in Isaiah 45. A moment, please. Yes, I'm here. Good, good, good. Now, in Isaiah 45, let's just read from the verse one and let me show you something here. What this means. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him and to loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors. Take note of that. Take note of that. It says that I'm going to go before him to subdue nations before him and to loose the armor of kings. Take note of that. Loose the armor of kings. And number two, to open before him the double doors. To open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. Take note of these three phrases here. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight, and I'll break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. When scripture says that he will lose the armors of kings or the loins of kings, it's a metaphor, and it speaks to how kings of those days will go to war and they carry wealth with them, the loins of kings, carrying of wealth with them. And then number two, it says, I will break before him the double doors. I'll open before him the double doors. The double door speaks of the treasury where kings kept their wealth. God is saying that wealth is locked in secret places, and these secret places are held over by kings, principalities, powers, rulers, dominions. And therefore, if we're going to step into that little principle I just mentioned, riches, sorry, wealth and riches, they are locked up in secret places and dark places. We need to step into the dimension of wisdom, knowledge. You need to begin to invest. For example, if it's real estate you want to start, begin to invest some level of knowledge into that and all the tax laws that govern that. If it is farming, one of the things I'm thinking about I need to begin to research and begin to ask questions, the right questions, the right questions. What do I put in the ground? That does 3 months and is harvested. What do I put in the ground? That does 6 months and is harvested. What type of farming? Is it fish farming? So I'm talking to someone and the person said, oh, I have a fish farm, two of them or so I want to rent out. I said, no, it is not in my concept right now. I've not thought about it. I have not discerned that. I do not have any knowledge concerning this. I'm never going to even rent a fish farm and it's in your compound and who takes care of it. All kinds of risk factors involved. So there is some level of knowledge that have to be invested into. Begin to invest into certain areas that you would want to get into in terms of knowledge. And there has to be spiritual warfare because some of the spaces you can't break in because it's controlled by a certain level of forces. And it is only released to those who are paying allegiance to them, who dance to their tune, who are submitted to them. And God is powerful and he says, I will give you, I will break the armory. Now, to open before him the double door so the gates will not be shut, it speaks of destroying the headlock. You know, when you have two doors that swing in and out like that, and it has a headlock that holds them, once the headlock is broken and destroyed, that door will remain swinging in and out forever. That is the picture. God is saying, I will destroy the headlock. I will go before you. I will destroy the headlock and ensure that you come into such a blessing. So number one, I'm saying that the first principle is that wealth is everywhere. We need to dream. And I want to say to somebody on this call, you can dream with God again. You can dream with God again. You can dream with God again. It's a very simple teaching I have somewhere. You can dream with God again. It doesn't matter how old you are. You can dream again. At 80, you can ask for that mountain. We can dream again. That is number one. That is number one. Number two, we said riches, wealth and riches is locked up in secret places and dark places. Number three principle is that riches is a blessing from God. Riches is a blessing from God, not necessarily by our human prowess and capacity and strength. If God has not put such a blessing on a man, one can labor. And an iota of an idea from God is more than a double master's. It's more than four PhDs put together. It's more than the best brains in finance making the best money in the world. Solomon, or let me put it this way, money is an idea. Money is an idea. Money is an idea. Money is an idea. It is not strength. It is not strength and doing. Money is an idea. Solomon asked God for wisdom, and God blessed him with the riches. And this afternoon, my wife was playing some teaching, and I heard a preacher say, think and grow rich. Think and grow rich. So there has to be some metanoia, some repentance, some change in our thoughts and our thinking processes to allow us to step in the capacity that bears finances. We have to embrace a new set of thinking. The essence of our education is to make our life better and to also cause us to step into finances. The essence of your education, the essence, the reason why you're going to school. Today, I told myself, I was researching and making notes and about some meetings ahead of me. And I said, why did I go to school? Particularly when the gentleman was asking me for $3,000 to him, then he will invest into this product and system and all of that on my behalf. And I said, I don't even know you. I ask you your name, your real name, you never mentioned to me. You are telling me I should give you $3,000. And I said, why did I go to school? Why did I read? Why am I reading an MSc in finance? Why do I want to get a PhD in pure finance? Is it to be hanging it around myself and boasting I got some PhD in finance? No, it has to produce an essence. It has to produce some freedom. It has to produce some finances. And so I said, no, I'm not giving into this. I need to step into money. And therefore, money is an idea. Think and grow rich. Think and grow rich. And I understand that book is best-selling. For how many years is best-selling? I've listened to other people who are millionaires and talk about this book. Believers, I've listened to a preacher, another preacher, powerful preacher, rich, golden rich, dusty rich. And he talks about this book a lot. And you will realize that there are kingdom principles in there. These three principles, I want them to hold onto this principle. And then let me begin to dive into the next broad principle. So under the first principle, we look at three main things. I'm going to look at the second broad principle. And the second broad principle is that if we're going to step into wealth, there is a blessing that God releases that makes one rich and has no sorrow. If we're going to step into wealth, there is a need that you have a seed. There's a need that you have a seed. You need a product. You need a service. You need to discover a gift. You need a product. You need to have a service or a product and a service. You need to have a gift. And therefore, I wrote here, I said, money goes to those who create sets of attraction for it. Sets of systems of attraction for it. Not to those who need it. Not to those who need it. Money does not go to, I'm in need, I'm in need, I'm in need, I'm in need. We're going to break that cycle. We're going to come out of that place. And I'm saying this again, you can dream again. You can dream again. I think a few days ago, I was there, was it yesterday? I was praying and I felt the Lord said to my heart, you can dream again. You can dream again. You can start dreaming again today. It doesn't cost anything to dream. You can dream 1,000. It doesn't cost anything to dream. And therefore, go ahead and dream even now. Money goes to those who create systems of attraction for it, not to those who are in need of it. Those who are in need of it could not move to a place of action to create systems of attraction. And therefore, for you to create a system of attraction, you need a seed. And that seed will be a product. That seed will be a service. That seed will be a gift. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 16. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Study all billionaires and see. Every billionaire, study them and see. Every millionaire, study them and see. They all sold something. They sold something. They all sold something. They sold a gift. They sold some idea. They sold a thought. They sold a business. They provided some solution. And so we need to break out of that unsustainable cycle of I give and therefore God is going to bless me and therefore I fold my hands and go and then God is blessing me. No. When you study Solomon in the book of Proverbs chapter 24, it says, I walk past the garden of a lazy man. He categorically defined it, past the garden of a lazy man. He says that the walls were broken, tongues had grown all over, and thistles had grown all over. I look upon, and then I receive an instruction. Then I understood that a little folding of hands. We need to have a farm, and the farm must be kept and maintained. You need a product. And the last principle that I'm broadly going to talk about was next week, I'm going to start jumping into some areas, some specifics. I'm just going to mention them. And then we open up for discussion. I'm going to mention them. and we open up for discussion. The last principle is, when you are dealing with your seed, you need to have a morning seed and an evening seed. When you are dealing with your product, your service, your gift must have the ability to meet the morning season and meet the evening season. In Psalm 126, the verse 6, the NIV translation said, those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. I carry seed to sow, going out weeping. Difficult times. I remember when I started my first business, I went to an office to market my product. Everything that I started, I tried to get involved and market it myself. And I went to this office and the gentleman said, why are you here? I said, blah, 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 blah. He said, no, we don't want you here. He sacked me. He actually drove me out. They called the security. Come, get this gentleman out of here. We don't need him here. I allowed it to roll off my back and I went to the next office somewhere to go and speak about what I was selling. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy. It is important that you have a seed. This is important, even if it's going to be selling something on your status. I started selling antivirus. When I got my first contract, I was out of Ghana. Then I got a contract signed. I arrived in Ghana. Apparently, the company has sent me the contract, everything. I arrived in Ghana and it was in the mail. I picked it. And I sold my first antivirus with my phone to somebody outside. And the second sale, which was about, is it 30 user or 100 user? All by phone, and I've not seen this person before. You can begin to sow your seeds on your status. You can begin to market that shoe, that dress, that service, that concept, that idea. You have to be consistent at it. You have to put it out there consistently. Be consumed by it. Let it be a thing you dream of when you sleep, when you rise up. So there's a need that you have a morning seed and evening seed. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. And then Ecclesiastes chapter 11, I'm reading the verse 6, then I'll come back, read the verse 4 to 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, the verse 6, then 4 to 5. In the morning, sow your seed. Now, it's calling for some real action. The principle of the morning and evening seed is that there has to be an action. In the morning, sow your seed. In the evening, do not withhold your hand. That is, sow another seed again. For you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether those alike will be good. Whether both alike will be good. The verse 4, he who observes the wind will not sow. He who says, I am old enough, I can't do this, will not sow. He who says, I am not matured enough, can't sow. He who says, I am not prepared for this, will not sow. Let me state something. We are not going to be living in this. There's a lot of reality that is coming to me and making me think a bit differently and makes me stay quiet and process a lot of things. We are not going to be on this earth forever. It is important that you take note of this. You are not going to live forever. And the energy you have now, you may not have it some few years to come. If I'm told that the world will end tomorrow, I'll still sow my apple seeds today. I'll still start a farm today. If I'm told that the world is ending tomorrow, I'll still sow it today. I will press in, I will fight, I'll go forward. Because you don't know which of them or both alike will be good. But he who observes the wind, it's too windy. It's too tiring. I can't do this. I can't process this. I can't acquire this knowledge. I do not have time. I am too busy. It is not yet time. Oh, 5 years from now, When I am 100 and something years old, he will be in the ground. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the cloud will not reap. As you do not know what is the way of the wind or how the bone, it's one of my favorite passages, because when I think about a miracle, how does the bone, blood clot, Maggie is a nurse. I mean, you begin to explain the science to us and all. However, my question is, where from the bone, that thing that looks so jelly suddenly becomes flesh. That thing that is so jelly has something growing in it called bone. What are we talking about here? Or how the bone grows in the womb of her who is with child. So you do not know the works of God who makes everything, who makes everything. So it's important. These three broad principles, and I summarize them this way. The first principle, it tells us the source of wealth and riches. The second principle is that you require systems. You need a seed. You require systems of attraction. Once you build systems of attraction, forget it. It will begin to replicate itself. And the third broad principle is that have a morning seed and an evening seed. I want to stop you. I'm not going to stretch it. I'm not going to stretch this. Let's just jump into a conversation. Let the Spirit of the Lord provoke your heart. Let's begin to provoke one another to jealousy. Let's begin to ask questions and all. And let me conclude this way. So Kelvin, again, I was talking to Kelvin some time ago about some this transaction they were trying to get into and all of that. And the whole thing has been at the back of my mind. And so a few days ago, I was in the MTN office and I was sitting quietly waiting for my turn. And I think God took me there to speak to me just about something, because the reason why I went to MTN, I didn't succeed at all. I was sitting, a gentleman passed, and he was holding a book with a title of a particular product on it. And he walked fast and far past. And I said, Then I heard the Lord telling me, I have spoken to you to research this and study it. Get into this. In the evening, I got home in the evening, and I went to Facebook, and there's this preacher who had a Facebook live, so I connected to it. Yes, around 9 p.m. or 11 p.m. or something. And he was talking. At the end of the day, he said, the Lord spoke to me. The Lord spoke to me. There are four areas that people are going to emerge, and billionaires will rise and all of that. And he mentioned sequentially some of the things I've been thinking about. Then I said, boom, there's time for me to invest. And one of the things I did was I quickly bought a book. I bought a book for about $3 quickly. I want to read. I want to understand. And interestingly, I was on Facebook Reels, just looking at Facebook Reels. Then I came by a lady mentioning particular apps, and I quickly I had those some of those apps on one of my phones. So I quickly downloaded it on my other phone to see what is the end. Each day, I am getting into some depths, some clarity, some understanding. I'm investing into knowledge. I'm building a grandstand. Maybe in a month or two, then I will begin to strike to see what God has me. So I want to open this. Let's have a conversation. Where the money go day? Where is the money? Where is the money? Where is it? God bless you. Thank you.
Hello, Mark. It's good to see you. To see you. I can't hear you, but it's good to see you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I want to say I'm really provoked by this message here today, because what I've heard through what you said, this is not religious. It's highly spiritual, but it's not religious. And what I mean by this is that If we take what we've heard today and go pray about it, we are in unbelief. This is a call to action. This is a call to action. It's not a call to prayer. It's a call to action. It's a call to take these steps that have been given. We know there's going to be pushback. We know there's going to be resistance. But we have been given by God already the ability. And one of the things you said here, Mark, is what really validated to me was that I have a natural inheritance and I have a spiritual inheritance. My spiritual inheritance is not found through my job. My spiritual inheritance is found through God's dream for me. It's found through his dream for me. So what you have provoked and challenged us with here today is so that, not so I can have a bigger house, not so I can have 5 or 10 cars in the driveway, not so I can, you know, so I can see you, so I can hop on a plane or get you plane tickets or get Amazon plane tickets and Steve's family to be able to do work together. The internet makes the world small, and money makes the world small. We don't have to dream about meeting each other, seeing each other. We don't have to dream about imagining what it would be like if we were together when we have resources to be able to make it to happen. And so we can finance kingdom initiatives. We can finance things that, you know, that God has called us to do. And like you said, Mark, so clearly, and I could see it in your eyes. I could see it. I could see it in your passion. I could see one of the things that gets us to this place is coming to the end of ourselves and coming to the end of our condition. I believe that when you spoke that you could dream again, I believe that was one of the people who that was for. I believe that was one of the people that was for, because when you have lived such a challenging life, when it's come to getting beyond the veil, so to speak, or beyond, it's, you know, it could really, really be challenging. But man, I'm telling you, when there comes a time where we've had enough and we can't go beyond where we have to go beyond where we are. That's what I'm saying. We have to go beyond where we are. We have to, it's almost like the baby in the birth canal. The mother has no option of the baby going back. You know, it's time to push. No matter how much pain, no matter what it is, we have to push to the joy. There is a pushing to the joy. And so I'm so very, very moved by this word here. Today, Mark, I'm receiving it both prophetically and naturally, but I don't want to over-spiritualize this moment, because you have given us very practical things to look at, to think about, to discuss and take action on, to really take action on. Money is not spiritual. Not spiritual. And it is meant to be a servant, our servant, to get things done that we need to get things done with. I saw a guy that was at a sporting event here in America who had a $7 million watch on. $7 million for a watch. I don't want money for that. But it tells me, like Mark said, money is everywhere. Money's everywhere. If it could be found on the wrist of someone, I have a watch too. It's not $7 million. It could tell time just like the $7 million watch can tell time. But my point is, if the world can find these minimal uses of money, how much more can I be in a position to be able to receive from God to sponsor and finance kingdom initiatives and kingdom agendas. And so I had to come on camera, Mark, because you talked me out of this, man. You talked me out of this. And so I'm going to make move. I'm not going to even talk to God about it because he's already told me, you know, move forward. I mean, when Jesus called Peter out of that boat, he didn't call him into a prayer meeting. He called him into action. Take a step out. Take a step out. Take a step out. And so what I find is that sometimes we don't want to feel that rejection when we go to a business and a solution and they call security on us. We don't want to feel what that feels like to be rejected, and I don't want what you have, and get out of here, and I'm not going to talk to you. Know, we want to be spared those feelings, but sparing those feelings is a trick. But because behind that rejection is what we've always wanted. Behind that rejection, behind that iron gate that doesn't, that this behind this Jebus position, you can't come in here. They told Brenda, a mentor here told Brenda in real estate, listen, they're not going to buy from Black people. You will not be able to get anything sold in this town. You're not going to be, because this town does not have Black renters, Black real estate agents. They will lock you out. That's what they told her. That's what they told her. So it sounds a lot like Jebus. So what happens in this for me is my fuel must come from what they say I can't do and can't have to who and what God has called me to do and to have. So what is he requiring of me? What is he expecting of me? What does he want from me? As his representative in the earth, I find that I'm a better representative in the best of health and having finances. Now people will listen. People will hear. Not because I'm anointed or because I say things that agree or connect with their heart. It's because in order to be an effective representative, we have to have health and we have to have finances. We will not be able to get anywhere apart from it. So I don't want to over-spiritualize this because it's not spiritual. It's not. When Mark talks about having a product to be a money magnet, that's exactly what it is. We are already blessed. We're already blessed. We've already been commissioned. When we were born again, we became the blessings of God in the earth. So anything we do is blessed. Anything we put out there is blessed. And one of the things that I've been telling my small group here is wherever you go, you have a favorite connection. You got to wait for it. I was at the Department of Motor Vehicles here in Los Angeles, and the paperwork that I had, I scratched something out to correct it. And they said to me, this woman who was behind the desk said, sir, you need the complete paperwork over again. Which meant I had to go to the doctor's office to get this form that I just didn't have time to do it. Brenda says, wait, just wait here. You know, the woman told me no. She says, wait, Kelvin, just sit here and just wait. I did. That woman went to lunch. The next woman who was behind the desk, this was her last day. She was so happy to be going into retirement. She didn't care whether the paperwork had blemishes. She was passing everything through. I'm saying that to say this, is that we have favor connections in the earth. We just got to wait for them. They're around. They're everywhere. Our favor connection is around. It won't be found in every place and with everybody, but we do have favor connections. And if we would wait for them, they will emerge. So on the same day I was rejected, in the same place where I was rejected, by a different person who was moved out, this person told me, listen, have a good day, sir. Move the paperwork along and everything. And there was no problem. We have favor connections stationed everywhere. All we have to do is wait for them or just wait our time. Be patient and listen for instruction, and God will give them to us. I really believe we've reached the end of ourselves. God is tired of seeing us moan and languish and do without and not have. God is tired. But you know what I find out too about him? God will allow what we will allow. And if we will continue to allow poverty, he will allow what we allow. But if we reach the end of feeling the way we feel it by not having, not being able to do, not being able to support, not being able to help, then that's the end of that season too, because we've determined it. Notice what it says in scripture. Whatever you bind on earth, the Lord, it has to start from here. It has to start from here. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. So heaven is agreeing with what we initiate down here. And there's so much more I could say about Isaiah 45, Mark, about this issue of darkness. And I'm telling you, and about the kings, you know, these business people and kings and all of these other things. There's so much in here inside of you. I look forward to bringing it up again, but I just want to just mention this part of its impact on me and on my life today, how this was so much God and how much I needed this. And I must be careful not to over religiousize this. This is spiritual, but it is not religious. And so I want to thank you so much for this. This has been really good.
Thank you, Kelvin. There are several layers in the things that you have said. And one of the things that I want to say, there's so much on my mind. There's so much on my mind. It makes me go quiet. I'm provoked on the inside. One of the things that I want to say, we really need a renewal of the mind. We really need a mental renewal. We really need to begin to see through the lenses of the Father's eyes again. Because there are several reasons why we can say this, but one, when you would have, like Kelvin described it, been behind the brick wall, when you would have been fighting, and for a protracted period of time, nothing works. Things do not happen the way you expect them to happen. The possibility for your brain to become accustomed to the situation and get grounded and accepted that this is the way life is and this is the way it's going to continue. For me, it's about 70%, 75%. When you look at the parable of Jesus Christ, almost about 75% is lost. Thorny grounds, wayside, the other one was on rocky ground, something like that. In thorns, wayside, and a rocky ground. 75% is 25% that comes alive. So for everything that you are working through, about 75% of the time, the enemy is fighting to take that away from you. Even the word of God will receive 75%. Without careful management, 75% is lost. What we learn in school, without careful management, 75% is lost. Whatever skill or trade, 75% is lost. Business transaction, you could lose 75% of your profit plus your investment. The enemy is not happy to have you and I free. The enemy is not happy to see $1 come into your pocket. Every single, I mean, you should go back and listen to this teaching I did on the podcast, Establishing the Ecclesia, when I talked about the marketplace. There are two series on that. The devil is so incensed when $1 flies into your bank account. He does not like it, because for every gain you make, you are impoverishing him. And so he will be joyful to get you locked up in a mindset that makes you think it is all over. This is the way it's going to be. This is the way it's going to run the rest of my life. I can't make anything. You are old. You are 40, 45, you are 50. You are 30. You've lost so many years. Just go through the motion. You tried that thing before. It didn't work. Are you going to try it again? The voices are calling out on you. The song by this guy, Casting Crown. The voices tell you that you have tried and tried again and you have failed. But it says, by the voice of truth, keep on telling me that do not be afraid. So we have to break a mindset. You have to look into your life. You have to begin to examine your life and look and say, what is it that is stopping me? Because sometimes the point of action, the point that we are not acting, or the point of action that we have not really brought to bear in our world, is as a result of a certain mindset. It is finished. We need to break that. We need to begin to take baby steps. We need to launch out. I was listening to, I just randomly came by it yesterday, and I sent it to, yesterday or Monday, I sent it to my wife. I said, you should listen to this and see. This guy, young guy who started his business, trying to get a contract, and for weeks, the PO to have him make a supply never came. So he went to the procurement manager's office, and the procurement manager says, your PO is on the desk of the MD and he's not signing it. So young guy says, he said he when he walked straight, he knew very well that the secretary of the CEO will not allow the MD, will not allow him to get in. So he walked quickly past the secretary and he opened the MD's door, and then he said to the woman, hi, good afternoon. By the time the woman could say, hey, Jack, he was already in the CEO's office. Just look at that level of aggression. I don't have anything to lose. The only thing I have to lose, I'll be thrown out. And he said, sir, my name is so-and-so, so my company is this and that. I understand my PO is on your desk and it's been pending for weeks now. Sir, can you please sign it for me? He said, no, we don't know your business. We only know Total and those big companies and all of that. But he said, what kind of business is that? We are not going to sign anything. And he said, if that thing was not going to be signed, then the CEO is not getting out of his office. He is also not leaving the CEO's office. You go to somebody's office and you invade the person's office. And he said, he stood there. The CEO was about to leave, and he told me, I'll leave in my office and go. When the CEO was trying to get through the door, he is a tall gentleman. He tried to stand in the door and say, sir, just help a young man to also come up and do this business. After the back and forth for hours, the CEO signed and said, take, I don't never want to see you in my office again. And that was the first foremost business he did that opening up, and is one of the big time oil dealers in Nigeria. We have to break a mindset. I'm slow on this because Isaiah 45 have so much in there, like Kelvin said. I'm slow on this because many of us have stopped dreaming, and we are just, and if once you stop dreaming, you're not living. You're just going through the motion. We have hung things. Think again about the powerful dreams that you have. Think again about the powerful things that you thought to do. Think again about the powerful initiatives that you started. You think it's by mistake. You started that initiative and it failed. Think about it again. No, it's not by mistake. You would have made mistakes and so the business failed. That initiative has tremendous wealth and value in it, waiting for your expression. You can dream again. Look into yourself. Write down the thoughts. I don't want to get into deliverance ministry now. Write down your thoughts. Write down the things that you identify. You're going to clear the land of your soul and get good things sown in, and begin to speak to yourself in the mirror and begin to rebuke that thought and tell yourself you can't be thinking this way. You cannot be looking down upon yourself. Some of us are so powerful. We have so much giftings. Today, for example, looking at myself, I tuned into TikTok and there was a preacher who was preaching. And I looked at it and said, this is the message I was preaching some months ago. And why can't I be confident about it? And he's confident about it without even the depth with which I taught it. He's teaching it and he's confident. He's happy about it. We have stuff we are not confident about. We are looking for somebody to come and validate us. Come on, pat yourself on the back and validate yourself. Tell yourself, if nobody believes in me, I believe in me. Because the best person who can believe in you is you. If you cannot believe in yourself, any other person that believes in you, you will still crumble because you have no capacity to carry anything on. I have determined never to join my critics against myself. I have determined to take my vision serious. And anybody that takes my vision for granted, I boot you out. I clear you from the way. I am determined. I am so glued. I'm like a plane that is locked in. I am landing. Nothing is going to trip me. I am coming down. And once you begin to enter into that realm, in the night, in the morning, in the afternoon, you nap, you wake up, you realize that there is a voice that is speaking to you. There is something provoking you. There's something telling you, lazy man, lazy woman, get up. You need to pursue this. There's something, there is a voice, and let me call it the Holy Spirit. And that is the Holy Spirit indeed speaking to you. My son, my daughter, you are behind schedule. It is time to act. There is the voice of the Holy Spirit in your heart. It is time to go to this place. Look for this person. Look for this material. Read this. It is time. Go back. Romans chapter 12, the verse 1. Sorry, I don't know what happened. It is time. Write down. What are those roots of mindsets that blocks you? What are the roots? What are the roots? I think I posted something on TikTok few days ago. I said, mindset is everything. What are those roots? Write them down. Identify them. Oh, I have not believed in myself. Number two, I believe that I cannot make this business well because I failed. Write it down and begin to talk yourself out of them. Demand and talk yourself and get out of it. When it comes to the issue of the kings, Kevin, you said something and I giggled that they told Brenda that no black person have made an estate in this place. No black person is selling. And there are two scenarios that come to mind. Amos go prophesying in Bethel and say, get out of here. This is the king's court. No prophet comes to work in this environment. And those voices are speaking to us. In fact, even the third scenario, the children of Israel building the wall, and the voices crying from beyond the river, the Sambala, the Tobias, and the governor saying, let the doors of that house be closed. Then Ezekiel says that it says that the princes of the people says that this city is ours, and you, the human beings, you are the cauldron. You cannot have a possession in this place. And that is a statement, and it's highly demonic, because the people controlling that environment are in the realm of racism, and racism is a sin problem, is a demonic problem. The people in that environment are people that are locked in witchcraft, coven, and control the wealth of the city. It will take one man, one woman, to break the back of that and begin to make strides. And I believe this thing is upon us. And I said, for the rest of the year, I'm going to talk about money. I'll just talk about money. If money is not important, try living without it and see how life is. Please share your thoughts.
Mark, I just want to say about Mark 4 that you mentioned. Even after getting to the good ground, there's a process. Even after getting to the good, the Bible says, hear the word, receive it, and bear fruit. That's 100-fold. Hearing the word, receiving it, and bearing fruit. That's the evidence that we heard it. So the seed has to travel through the stony ground. right? It has to travel through the thorny ground. Then it gets through to the good soil, but it doesn't stop there. It has to grow from hearing it, receiving it, to bearing fruit. So I wanted to just add that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Please share your thoughts. Share how this thing is provoking you. You can write something out there. We need to step out. It's been too long. The realm of finances have been abandoned to some people. And we have said we are not worthy enough to hold. It's too long. It's too long. It's too long.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening, brother.
Yeah. Well, I want to say it's very thought-provoking. I mean, I've been listening to you speak on this topic for some time now. I think our upbringing in Christianity has been somewhat a bad one. Our teachings on money have been either none of it or too much of it, for want of a better statement. So what I mean by that, let me qualify that a bit. Our upbringing in traditional Christianity taught us that, to be poor was okay, to not have these things and to grow up in poverty, that was good, that was, somehow that made you righteous, or somehow that made you humble. I don't know. Our teachings in Christianity never really taught us to pursue, as you put it, to pursue prosperity, money. And then on the other hand of that, there was the extreme end of the prosperity messages and preachers, and you know what the media has done with those, and that kind of gave a bad taste in the mouth of many people. So, you know, it was preferred to stay in the shadows, as you say, in the dark, and not even move into this. But it's very thought-provoking to begin to awaken to these things again, and thoughts about that this is beneficial. Now, I'm going to talk about an experience, my own life experience, and it because it relates in a particular way. And when I share it, maybe it will help you to understand what I mean. Now, for me, prosperity is not only about money, right? Because your wealth, your riches can show up in many different ways. So I'll share this experience and we'll see how it adds to what we're seeing. So, Shobha and I were married for some years, and the time came when, you know, we thought it was time to have a family, start a family. And we thought this was, you know, just going to be the next step for us. And it did not go the way it was going. It wasn't going at all. And, you know, some measures of frustration began to come in. And being active in ministry somewhat, preaching the word of God, praying for people, giving people the word of the Lord. And I had this heart-to-heart conversation with the Lord one day. And I said, Lord, you know, this is not going to work. Just give me a sec. Sorry about that, brothers. So I had this heart-to-heart conversation with the Lord. And I said, listen, I'm praying for people and I'm seeing things happen. I'm giving people the word of the Lord. I'm preaching this message out of my heart and out of everything that you've given me. But if... Excuse me again.
You're helping me, man. You're helping me. You are helping me.
My goodness.
This is helping, Amazon. This is helping. This is helping, brother. Man.
Oh gosh, I do apologize for that, but I want to really get into this. I had this heart-to-heart conversation with the Lord, and I said to him, "This is not going to work. I cannot continue preaching the way I preach, ministering the way I minister, because what's my testimony here? How is this going to reflect me? And more than that, how is it going to reflect you?" And so I hope you're seeing the connection here. If we continue to live in poverty and a poverty mindset, and how is our testimony to the world? I was going through all of this and God working through my life, and I'm saying, God, I'm gonna hang up my coat here. I'm gonna hang up the towel. I'm gonna throw in the towel here, because if I do not see this child happen for me, then I have no testimony. Then I'm a broken man, and I don't know how I can push through with this. And the rest is history, because God proved to me and showed me that, listen, this is who you are. This is what I've called you to do. And I put my stamp and seal of approval upon you. And I'm telling us out there today that this is who you are, and this is what God has called you to do. And He's going to put a stamp of approval on you. Amen.
Well,
Amen. That really blessed me. That really blessed me because it's reaching the end of yourself and saying, God, I will no longer represent you this way. I will always represent you, but I will not represent you this way anymore. It's almost like snapping. We call it snapping here in the US. When you snap, like the guy wouldn't let the guy get out of the office. It's almost like the one who kept begging for the woman who was going to the unjust judge. She's saying, listen, I'm going to be a problem. You have to deal with me. You could call whoever on me. I'm going to be right back here tomorrow. Because I've reached the end of myself, I am no longer going to live like this way. So, Mark, I concur with what you're saying about this whole thing, because if we worry too much about how we look, if we worry about decorum, there comes a time where David is at war and he's not smiling. No more Mr. Nice Guy. I'm going for the head of Goliath, man. I'm coming back with the head. And the prodigal, it's like, man, why am I in the hog pen? My goodness, I have better than, so it's that realization. Amazon, that's what I got from you. Coming to the end of yourself, it's
Sorry. I think I overheard somebody said some years ago, and he was talking about the late Idahosa, the late Idahosa, and he said Idahosa was talking with God, and he said, God, I'm seeing a lot of one of his challenge was that there were things he questioned and he didn't see his pastor walking in it, but he read them in the Bible and he saw that he can do them, and some of them he started walking in them. So when he started ministry or something, he was telling God that if you've called me to be poor like some of these pastors and to represent you this way, I don't want to be part of that. It is important that we live in our inheritance. What God have called us to be, express, we must be unapologetically. Things may be tough, but I believe you will express it. Any other thoughts? Ahuma, any thoughts? Tell me, any thoughts? Yeah, I see Mary too. Mary, well done. Well done to be on the call. Well done. Well done. Anything on your mind? Anything provoking any of us? Anything you want to share? All right. Without anything being shared, I will say this. Let's go to the place of action. Go back to the dreams that you have shelved. Dust them. Begin to map out strategies because you have the mind of Christ. Go back to the place of renewal of the mind. Go back and discover yourself because God has released a blessing and we need to walk in this. I am poised. I've said it on a live broadcast at the beginning of this year. I am poised. I'm so positioned. This year, something has to come out of me. Something must happen. Every realm of my life, something must happen. I must hold on to a fruit. That is the financial dynamics, academic dynamics, ministerial dynamics, my relational dynamics. I need to hold on to a fruit. And one of the key things is that we need a mental shift. We really need a paradigm shift. We really need a renewal of our minds. God bless you. I am done. Next week, we shall continue by God's grace. God bless you. God bless you.